Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 8, containing the supreme text number 12. Sarva Dwarani Samyamya
Sarva Dwarani Samyamya
Manoridi Nirudhyasha
Manoridi Nirudhyasha
Murdyani Ratmana Pranam Astito Yoga Dharanam
Astito Yoga Dharanam
Sarva Dwarani,
all the doors of the body.
Samyamya, controlling. Mana, the mind. Riddhi,
in the heart.
Nirudhya, confining. Cha,
also.
Murdni, on the head. Adaya, fixing. Atmanaha,
of the soul.
Pranam, the life air. Astitaha,
situated in.
Yoga Dharanam,
the yoga situation.
Translation for Bodh by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The yogic situation is that of detachment from all sensual engagements, closing all the doors of the senses, fixing the mind on the heart, and the life air at the top of the head. One establishes oneself in yoga. Purport. To practice yoga is suggested here, one first has to close the doors of all sense enjoyment. This practice is called pratyahara, or withdrawing the senses from the sense objects. The sense organs for acquiring knowledge, the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and touch, should be fully controlled and should not be allowed to engage in self-gratification. In this way, the mind focuses on the supersoul and the heart, and the life force is raised to the top of the head. In the sixth chapter, this process is described in detail. But as mentioned before, this practice is not practical in this age. The best process is Krishna consciousness. If one is always able to fix his mind on Krishna and devotional service, it's very easy for him to remain in undisturbed, transcendental trance or in samadhi. Sarva Dwarani Samyamyai Manoridi Nirujicha Vardhyani Atmana Pranam Asito Yoga Dharanam. The yogic situation is that of detachment from all sensual engagements, closing all the doors of the senses and fixing the mind on the heart and the life air at the top of the head. One establishes himself in yoga. We wonder why Krishna keeps on talking about Ashtanga Yoga in the Bhagavad Gita. He talked about it in the sixth chapter. He talked about it in the eighth chapter. He talks about it in the summary. Because the basic principle of all the yogas is the same. The question is how you achieve, namely paying attention to Krishna. That's the whole idea. Oh, as soon as you get a material body, then there's so many demands. And the demands are principally the gates of the body, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Namely, Vacha Vegam, Manasakrota Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Udrapasa Vegam, Etan Vegam, Yoga Shaheta Dira, Sarvam Apimam Prativyam Sasisha. The urge to speak, the mind's demands, the forces of the tongue, belly, and genital. Vacha Vegam, Manasakrota Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Udrapasa Vegam, Etan Vegam, Yoga Shaheta Dira. So these forces, these pushings are always there, and they manifest themselves in the gates of the body. Or in these, there are certain chakras, and there are sensitive points, and they govern the different organs in the body, etc., etc. So, unless they're under control, then it's impossible to think of one thing. We're always going to be drawn. So we find, for instance, Dhruva Maharaj, in order to reach perfection by the meditation process, he had to give up eating gradually. So something we're not exactly prepared to do ourselves for the most part. He gave up eating, then he gave up drinking, then he gave up breathing. Obviously, to give up eating is difficult. Yeah, our program was every third day you ate a little bit of fruit. We wouldn't get many people attracted to our process. And then we explained our system. You know, you start out eating a little fruit, and every 6 days you dry leaves that fall from the tree. And then after that, you take drink a little water every ninth day. And then after that, you breathe every 12th day. And then finally, our aim is to stop breathing. And then stand on one leg and close all the doors of your senses, all the gates of your body, the nose, stop breathing, the ears, stop hearing. And then you can reach perfection. We'd like to try. People wouldn't take us very seriously. But that is the yoga process. Stop paying attention to the things outside and then pay attention to Krishna within the heart. Impossible in this age. No one's going to do it. No one can even show anyone to do it because no one knows how to do it. It's possible, but it's only possible if you have the right body. Guru Maharaj was born in Satya Yuga. He had a body that could withstand such an activity. We die. We die way before we reach perfection. We want to die after the first month. And just thinking about what's going to be the next 6 months would be enough, you know. So it's recommended always to chant Hare Krishna, and that's hard enough. And that's why we have japa time, where we're supposed to sit in the temple, look at the pictures. Is that supposed to attract, you know, we're not, hopefully we don't chant our japa in the kitchen when they're preparing gulab jamuns and samosas and expect to pay attention. And generally, sometimes the devotees even drive cars and they're chanting. So if they're actually paying attention to the chanting, they're a danger to everyone in the car. And if they don't pay attention, then they're chanting offensively, and they're a danger to themselves. Therefore, we try to arrange a situation where we can actually concentrate. Because that's the whole thing, is to concentrate the mind upon Krishna sometime. For one who can actually concentrate and remember Krishna, then it's possible to go into the next process of feeling His presence. If we don't believe, if we don't concentrate on the mind of Krishna, then we won't feel His presence. If we don't feel His presence, we won't experience what Krishna consciousness is. Because Krishna consciousness is not an ideal, it's an it's an experience. So the yogis, they find it very difficult. Because in the beginning, they're trying to concentrate, but their minds are going in all different directions like ours. But they're not going to get anything positive for a long time. So generally, people who are really fried with the material world and had so many bad experiences, then they may attempt the yoga process. Or, as we find in the Nectar of Devotion, a Brahmin, part of his ordinary meditation, in previous ages, people just regularly were, in India at least, or in the cultured world, they would engage in service to the deities, especially the Brahmins. And so he was able to sit there and do pranayama and meditate upon Krishna and his pastimes by doing deity worship, bringing water from the sacred places, and the Saraswati, the Jamuna, the Kaveri, and golden and silver pots, and then bring them to the deities and bathe the deities and then dress the deities and offer them food, all within his mind for many, many years. And then one day he put his finger into the sweet rice pot, test and see if it was hot, cool enough, and his finger got burnt, and Krishna and Vaikuntha was laughing. And the Lakshmis were wondering, what are you laughing about? Then he brought that Brahmin back to Vaikuntha. So that process And meditation is possible, but meditation on Krishna. And this, in any age, meditation on Krishna's name, form, quality, and pastimes is always superior to this kind of meditation mentioned here. Because as Prabhupada will say, that by following the indirect path, there's always the danger of turning into impersonalism. Going from the indirect path, going from a shudra, which means one who's in the mode of ignorance and lamenting most of the time, but by taking up some religious process, coming to the platform of becoming a vaishya, which in our terminology means that you have some intelligence, but comfort is, and you're trying to achieve, you're working towards that. So that in our terminology means that, you know, people are into the nature. Maybe there's a few people into farming and cow protection in our society. So that's vaishyas. You know. They know good food, nice milk products, clean air, fresh water, that this is an advancement other than the hectic life of the materialist in Kali Yuga, which leads to lamentation. And then as they advance, they become managers. They want to organize society, they want to organize their life, they want to put things together so that they get the maximum amount of comfort and the minimum amount of distress, and they're interested in saving others in that way. And they get directions from the Brahmins how to do it, how to organize their lives in the society. And then there's the Brahmins who can actually meditate. And they, if you go through the process and you don't know that the goal is Krishna, to meditate upon Krishna, they start meditating, but they meditate on Brahman, like the Kumaras. And only by good association do they find out that they should be thinking about Krishna rather than Brahman. They actually find out that there's a real Krishna, and he's God, and he's the source of all pleasure and everything. And then they can meditate like that. So that's what the yogis, the problem with the yoga system is that it's not possible in this age to begin with. The second is too difficult to achieve in a short period of time. And people generally get misled because they don't know what the goal is. If they know what the goal is, they start with the goal, namely thinking about Krishna, rather than go through this difficult, complicated process that usually doesn't work very well, especially in an age like Kali Yuga. So, chanting and listening, hearing attention about Krishna is difficult enough, but at least it's possible if one understands it clearly what to do. And it's possible that especially one can get a taste chanting attentively and getting a taste for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, for worshiping. If somehow or another one can get some liking for the activities of devotional service, then that liking can be developed. Then one can start paying some attention to Krishna and Krishna's service, and then it's possible to develop a taste which will keep one in devotional service, inspire one to go further. But this Ashtanga Yoga process is not exactly, it doesn't give very much taste, unless you have a taste for stretching your body, for the modern yogis, people get a taste from that. They get a thinner body, it's more flexible, they don't have so many physical problems until they practice long enough and they start breaking their bones and their joints, and it doesn't work in old age very well, does it? But anyhow, they get some taste from it. But as far as the actual yoga process, it's very, very difficult. There's lack of suffering as one advances, because generally to practice the Ashtanga Yoga process, one has to have had gone through to the brahminical stage in a real yoga practice. In other words, they must have reached the stage where they're not in distress anymore, they're not interested in material comfort, they've gotten knowledge of the Brahmins, they've understood that they are Brahman, and so, generally speaking, they can go through a lot of austerity and really make an effort to do it. But oftentimes they fail for different reasons, because it's a really difficult process. And it doesn't give immediately so much taste. It gives, well, first of all, it may give one, Indra may send some apsara if he gets worried. And they usually get distracted by that. Or they get some mystic power, a little bit more, they become more powerful. They get puffed up. And they want to, you know, show their friends their mystic power they got. Impress their friends and relatives. Or they just get tired of the whole thing. It's just, they get what they want and they just go home. So I'll stop there. Any questions? I mean, we're more fortunate than Durvasa Muni. Because at least we, from the very beginning, because we as Prabhupada said, because we know nothing, we knew nothing. Therefore, we could accept that Krishna is God. We grew up in India, Ganesh is God, Durga is God, Indra is God. We would have been all confused. So we knew nothing, and when we hear that Krishna is God, all right, he could be God. It's possible. We didn't object to it. No, you don't understand, you know. My ancestors worshiped Shiva for so many lifetimes, generations. You know, yes, I'll put Krishna on my altar, but don't take Shiva and Durga away. My ancestors will curse me. So we didn't have that problem. But our problem is probably that we generally like to fight and we're attracted to sex life. He said, that's our problem. Family, they go along with each other. If you're attracted to the sex life, then you'll wind up fighting with people. So that's our, and therefore we can't pay attention because we're too, one is passion and the other one is ignorance. And therefore it's hard for us to pay attention, that's our only problem. Because we don't know anything, therefore there's no obstacle. Yeah, we had too much knowledge, we think, you know, yeah. You go to someone from India who thinks they know everything, and they go, yes, I know. Yes, I know more than you. I was born as a devotee. So, on the other hand, if we actually become intelligent enough to realize that we should focus as much as possible on the activities of the nine processes, then we'll make some advancement. Much more than the yogis will. Although the yogis have started out probably much more advanced than we are. Even people in India are much more cultured and everything else. But as long as we have faith that Krishna is God, we try and focus our mind on Him and serve Him, then we'll make a lot of, make much more advancement. Okay, yes. And even more important than that, believe it or not, the most important thing is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. I mean, I've observed that even the devotees who, you know, more or less rascals, but when they're engaged in the mission, they did so many crazy things, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept them engaged because they're engaged in the mission. There's some special, I mean, not that we're recommending that you do crazy things. But the mission to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so important that he'll forgive anything, is practically speaking. You just keep engaging his mission. Give Krishna consciousness to others. As long as he sees that you're trying to be an instrument like that, then he helps, keeps one engaged in that mission. Do you have a question?
Okay, so if I understood correctly, we have to focus on these nine processes and at the same time try to associate with sattva guna as much as possible to cultivate this transparency that we can sort of absorb ourselves in these nine processes, if that is correct. Understood?
Yeah, there's nine processes. There's also five powerful processes which constitute our daily activities. Our sadhana, you know, chanting the holy name, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, worshipping the deities, serving the devotees and making the atmosphere spiritual, living in a spiritual atmosphere. These are our main sadhana, of which the nine processes are, you know, those are nine main processes, and these fit into those nine main processes. Actually, there's 64, which Sri Rupa Goswami repeats twice, the five powerful processes. But hearing, chanting, remembering, serving the deities, serving the Lord, offering prayers, you know, these are also, you can also see these as part of the five powerful processes. And sattva guna, yes, we have to pay attention. Sattva guna means pay attention, that's all. Be clean, be truthful, be brahminical. Then from there we can much more easily concentrate the mind on Krishna, on these five powerful processes, and the nine processes too. And especially these five powerful processes, even a little sincere concentration on Krishna with some devotion, one can experience bhava or ecstasy. And it's the ecstasy that actually gives us clarity, brings us beyond, they actually get some ecstasy, some ladini shakti. That's what actually brings us into clarity, more clarity than we had before. I mean, our goal is, sadhya, the goal is ecstasy, bhava. Putting the iron in the fire, it gets hotter and hotter. But not that we should start imitating, I'm ecstatic. But it's given by mercy from Krishna. When we concentrate our minds on Him with some devotion, and he can reveal to us, He'll give us the intelligence to experience Krishna consciousness. It's just one, hopefully it's one realization after another. That's Krishna consciousness. It's not one Sunday feast after another. It's one realization after another. It gives us an understanding how to practice Krishna consciousness, so that ultimately we actually become aware of Krishna all the time, everywhere, and then our natural feelings will awaken, because we're naturally Krishna conscious. It's not that we have to try to feel, but when Krishna reveals these things to us, when we're willing to act as His instrument, then the feelings will come out naturally, because that's who we actually are. That's our actual identity. It's not that we're going to learn to feel for Krishna. That's how we naturally are. We're just artificially feeling something else now. Is that right? Anything else? Thank you very much. Kundaraj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.